It's 100% hockey, and we have a day of plus minuses. On the positive, John Shannon, I have a list of Edmonton, Jack Eichel, Toronto, and USA goaltending. And on the minus, 100% hockey calls out the Rangers, USA goaltending, Boston, John Shannon, and me.
Hold on. What are you calling me out for?
Okay. First of all, I want to acknowledge I put you in a bad spot the other day. And I
I think we could say that every day, but that's okay.
Okay. Well, you were forced into doing something that you don't normally do on the podcast and promoting a guest because I brought it up. And then Doug Armstrong of the St. Louis Blues got storm-stayed in Minnesota after the loss against the Wild last night and is unable to make it today. And I apologize for putting you in that spot.
Yeah, you know, I know better over the years of doing this and making sure that people are always available. I just have to, you know, get back into the grind of having a backup plan all the time, you know? Always have a backup plan.
What's your backup plan today?
You and me.
Well, it's not a bad backup plan.
Well, yeah, no, I think people are going to be tired of hearing us for three shows in a row. So
everybody appreciates a good backup. We should have towels on. Remember in the 70s and the 80s, the goaltenders wore those big towels on the bench? Why doesn't that happen anymore?
Well, probably because the equipment is so bloody big, I don't think you want to anymore, do you, right? I mean, maybe. And how many guys wore the towels? Like John
Garrett? Everybody. The backups wore the towel. It was cool.
So you obviously wore the towel a lot when you played.
I had a beach towel. That's how much I backed up.
It's funny how you have things you remember. I don't remember that, but you know, I wasn't a goaltender. But you would remember that because you'd be watching every Saturday night and saying, look at that guy. He looks so cool with the towel around his neck. Jerry Cheevers used to wear it when he sat at the end of the Bruins bench. And of course there was the famous night, you know, the Dave Reese night, where Sittler scored the 10 points and they looked down the bench at Cheevers and Cheevers put the towel over his head. So he wasn't going
that.
In.
Right? I forgot about that.
He had just come back from the WHA, from the Cleveland Crusaders. But there was no way Jerry Cheevers was going in on that Saturday night at Maple Leaf Gardens.
And I thought I had the greatest backup story.
Okay.
Being what asked to go in. Glenn Healy.
Garrett's story is better.
John Garrett is very good, but Glenn Healy was backing up. I believe it was in Dallas, and things weren't going right for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Cujo was in goal, and Pat Quinn sent Steve Thomas down because the backup didn't sit on the bench there at Reunion Arena. And it was Steve Thomas going down to Heels and saying, you're going in. And Heels said, nope. And so Steve Thomas had to go back to the bench and tell Pat he's not going in. And Pat sent him back to Heels saying, you're going in. Nope. And Steve Thomas went back and forth for a TV timeout until Glenn Healy finally had to go in after Pat Quinn said, you tell that he's going in, get his stuff on. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it is. But the Garrett hot dog story in Quebec City, where he would eat, and of course, Quebec City and Montreal were famous for their chanchot, for their hot dogs. And so John would have the trainer buy him two hot dogs, and with mustard, by the way. John would put them at the top of his pads. And then Dan Bouchard played a bad period and got pulled during the period. And John had to go in and had already eaten one hot dog. And I think he lost the other one in his pads. And next thing, you know, he makes the saves. And you know, the legend has it that a hot dog flew out when he made a save.
He played parts of the third period with hot dogs in his pads.
Right.
The media came in after the game. He couldn't get undressed at all until everybody left the room because he had buns and hot dog and mustard and ketchup, everything all over his socks and his pads. And Bouchard took himself, like, John
Wow.
never
Then
played at home at the Coliseum. Never played at home. And Danny took himself out in the middle of the period, and John didn't have time to take the hot dogs out.
one of the quirkiest people I've ever met in my life, Dan Bouchard.
Oh, I thought you were going to say John Garrett.
No. How could you? How, I mean, I want to make this sound as positive as possible because it's not a reflection of Bouchard, but John Garrett's one of the most likable people you've ever seen in the game. Bouchard was quirky. Bouchard and Gilles Gratton were the two quirkiest goaltenders I ever was around.
Bouchard was in the Gratton area.
No,
I
I
didn't know
they
that.
well
Because
they
Gratton
were.
was, it's world famous about Gratton's idiosyncrasies.
Oh yeah, but Dan was when I got moved to Calgary in 1980, and Dan was the starting goaltender for the Flames, and didn't last the season, but and got traded to Quebec, but Dan was very very in.
He was a
He was
goalie.
trained. He
He
was
was a goalie.
yeah.
Like, goalies are normal now compared to what they were back in the
Yeah, actually, it's
50s, 60s,
funny you say
70s.
that. Funny you say that. I obviously spend a lot of time in the last couple of years around the Edmonton Oilers. Stuart Skinner is one of the coolest guys I've ever met. And by the way, he's playing pretty well right now. But Stuart Skinner will talk to you anytime, any day, whether he's starting or not. Just having a great conversation. And I actually sat down one morning of a game with him earlier this season and said, I gotta tell you are the coolest guy I've met in a long time. Because I can, you take questions the morning of a game, you joke around the morning of the game, and it is a revelation to see after all the years of being around goaltenders that you can't talk to, within 36 hours of a start.
Do you think goalies really are bothered by talking to the media on the day of a game, or is it just used as an opportunity not to deal with the media? And why would you not take a green light when you can?
What's the green light for? To
Not
say
talking to
talk
the
to the
media.
or not talking to the media? That's a red light for me.
I look at it as a pass.
I suppose, but the fact that I mean, Stewart's just I think I don't know. Do most goaltenders talk morning of games anymore?
No.
Yeah, this
Some
guy's phenomenal.
there's the exception. There's the exception, but predominantly goalies don't.
By the way, I don't know, you were working at the game in San Jose last night, but Stuart Skinner got run over by
Yeah.
Nikita Zadorov in the Boston game. And
I
talked
went
about it
back and found
after and
it.
talked about, what's that?
I went back and found it because it was really interesting because the concussion spotter took him out.
Took him out.
Yeah.
But the fascination for me was, and we didn't see it on television, but Zadorov apologized at the start of the second period.
That was nice of him.
Because Skinner went back in at the start of the second after being pulled, I think, 5:25 to go in the first. But Zadorov apologized to him. I thought that was kind of, I again, that's something in 2024 you wouldn't see in 1994.
If you go to apologize in 1994, you don't get within 20 feet and you're tackled.
No, that's right.
That
What do you?
that's what happens.
Yeah,
And so Skinner doesn't get credit for the shutout, even though
no.
Pickard didn't make a save while he was out, because
Right, and
it's a shared performance.
this is actually the second time this has happened in the last year. It happened in Pittsburgh last March, where Pickard got pulled for a concussion protocol situation with less than 2 minutes to play in the third. And it was the other way around. I think Stewart made one save in his minute and 14 in the third period, and it became a team shutout as opposed to an individual shutout. What do you think of that?
It is a team shutout, then, but you should get credit for a shutout on yours. Even
But it's not a, you don't play a complete game.
I know, I know. But
You
you
don't play a
should get.
complete game, and you have to. There has to be a way to. There has to be a way to measure games, and we measure games by 60 minutes, right?
Like last night, Picker didn't make any saves, so it should go to Skinner.
That's more of a reflection of the Bruins, don't you think, than it is of the Oilers?
I can't put that in the stat column, though.
What? Bruins were
This is
bad
a
in the first
reflection of the
10 minutes?
Bruins, so Skinner gets a complete shutout.
That's right.
Oh, Skinner, good mask. The
Oh, yeah.
mustache on the mask is
Well,
classic. I love that.
the mustache on the face.
Yeah, it's really good.
That's as good
It's
as it
world class.
gets.
John Anderson. He is John Anderson the second in Oilers lore.
We see you're dating yourself, huh?
We already dated ourselves. We were talking about backup goalie towels. Let's take a break. We'll come back.
John Anderson did have a good mustache. Of course, and still does. I haven't seen him in a while.
Plus minuses on the way as we get into it in 100% hockey with Darren Millard and John Shannon. You okay if we go back and forth between the plus minuses? Because I don't want to be all positive and then pile on at the end. So we can.
Well, allegedly you're the host, so you can do what you want.
I have a rundown here, a
No,
lineup.
you do not. Okay.
It, by the way, in the States, I call it like in Canada, we call it a lineup. What the show looks like. And when I say that in the States, people think I've
What do they
got
call it? What do
a
they call
game
it
sheet.
in?
They think I've got a game sheet of the players. I'm like,
Yeah.
no, it's a show lineup. Oh, a rundown. Okay,
Oh, I see. And
rundown.
I didn't call it when I was a producer. I didn't call it either of those things.
What did you call it?
Script. A script for the show.
Might
So
have to do that.
a show opening. The period, first intermission, it was just everything was a script and everything was scripted in order of what was supposed to happen.
How often did it go according to script?
Oh, a lot. Yeah, we
You made
were.
sure of that, didn't you?
Well, I'll tell you a story. So one of my first years as a producer, gosh, I may not even be 24 years old yet, 23 or 24. I come back to Toronto.
At
To
Hockey Night?
do a game at Hockey Night. I come back to Toronto to do a game for Hockey Night in Canada. And we're sitting in the meeting at 5 o'clock to go over the. It's an 8 o'clock start then in the old days, 8 o'clock Eastern time. I have left a blank in the second intermission in the third segment. I've left a blank. And Dave Hodge, who's the host at the time, and Hodge was very demanding. Hodge looked at this blank, and that gave him license to tell me exactly what he was going to do in that segment. And from that point on, I learned never, ever have a blank on your script, because what it was telling people that you actually hadn't given 100% of the thought process to the show. Because you didn't have any more ideas. So from that point on, I think it was 1981, I never had a blank on my script. I always had at least one idea in that segment so that we could even either debate whether it was a valid idea or it could be improved upon. But that was and I still remember Hodge looking at me like with such scorn, because I was this, pissy kid from Calgary coming in to produce Hockey Night in Canada. And he was looking at me, he said, I've been working all week thinking about this show. If you can't give me one good idea for one segment, what are you doing here? It was a
Why did
lesson
you
well
leave the
learned.
bank blank?
Because I had probably done five games that week and I was
Oh,
exhausted.
because you were doing the Calgary Flames local.
I used to do, on a weekly basis, I would do Calgary, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Vancouver. I did all
All
four
with different
seasons. Oh.
announcers.
Yeah, all different announcers. Yeah.
Ooh, that's a challenge.
Well, that's not true.
Announcers are needy.
Gary Dornhofer was our number one color man in the West, and he and I would do Calgary and Edmonton. We had different guys in Winnipeg and in Vancouver, but Dornhofer was our guy in Alberta.
How did you do this scripts? Because there was no computer. So would you use a typewriter and
I had five bottles of whiteout. Five bottles of whiteout with me all
And
the
you would
time.
type it up?
Oh yeah. You had to type your script up. Absolutely. Yeah.
And how would you
Try
get the slabs of stone over to the announcers?
Oh, hilarious. I became I was on a first name basis with every person at Kinko's in every city I worked in.
Oh, and then you go photocopy them?
Sure, you have to photocopy. The other thing was is that you stayed in so many hotels that you wouldn't carry a typewriter with you. So you'd befriend the front desk and say, "Can I come back to the office and use your typewriter?"
Really?
Oh yeah. So you never
Oh.
went to a hotel in a bad mood. You always had to make sure you were kind and sweet to the people at the front desk so you could go to the use the office, you know, at 10:30 at night
I'm trying to
or
imagine you flying on CP Airlines and
Canadian
having
Pacific,
a
that's right.
typewriter case and putting it in the overhead bin.
That,
That would have been
there was
good.
no way. There was no way. And at least in those days, we did get to the point of electric typewriters.
All modern. I
And
like
then,
yeah.
for the longest time, the Westin Hotel at Edmonton was my favorite hotel. I stayed there probably four nights a week for 8 years. By the third year, they would deliver a typewriter to my room.
Just to get rid of you from the office.
Yeah, you don't have to come back downstairs. We don't need to see that, you
Do you still
know.
have Weston points?
Oh, sure.
Attaboy. So Edmonton on a roll right now.
They played very well last night in Boston. They were full marks, and really, to me, the biggest storyline was, and it was, I think, to the players too, was that Adam Henrique was very good last night, so that there was a lot less reliance on the two other centermen that play more than Henrique does, and that, you know, and Leon and Connor, and that was impressive. They were very good. They were very good last night. And I tell you what,
Boston.
Skinner was unbelievable in the third period because Boston did try to turn it on, but he made at least six great saves in the third period.
But Boston's flattened out a little bit now.
That five in a row, I think, now they've lost. And you know, it's, you know,
Their
they're
D zone
just.
coverage last night was not very good.
Well, they still miss Hampus Lindholm, who's supposed to be coming back soon. That's a factor for them. That's a real factor for them. Okay, what's your next plus minus?
Jack Eichel.
Okay, we were texting back and forth last night a bit. What is this the best hockey he's ever played?
N I don't want to get him mad at me, but I don't think it's close. And he
Why?
only had 1 point last night, and I don't think I've seen him play a better, more complete game. And now he's plus 27, Jack or John. He's plus 27.
I'm John. He's
Yeah,
Jack.
I apologize. I'm really excited about talking about Jack. And he's going to finish top 10 in scoring, but last night was absolutely thrilling to watch.
The fascination for me about Eichel is not necessarily what happens on the ice, because he really has become the player we all expected him to be when he got drafted, right behind Connor. We've forgotten all about the controversy of the surgery. We've forgotten about it because this, you know, the artificial disc replacement has been phenomenal, and is probably he was the first athlete in mainstream sports to have it. You know, guys in UFC had had it, but you know, to have that surgery and then completely turn around his career, because it is really one of the great turnaround stories in professional sports, or at least in professional hockey in the last 10 years, isn't it?
Have
Don't
you
you
heard that
think?
it's going to be part of the CBA going forward?
That what?
Basically, it's going to be unofficially a Jack Eichel clause where the NHLPA is pushing to have the players have more say in their treatment.
Well, that's phase two because in the last couple of CBAs, they finally agreed that players could go for a second opinion, correct?
Right.
That,
But
which
Jack,
was.
Jack was adamant about the artificial disc
Right.
replacement.
Right.
Buffalo said no, and there was a divide there.
Yeah. Well, it just makes sense. I mean, that's a logical next step in a player trying to protect his own body, his own brand, from that perspective, and that's where the pendulum is swung for all of these guys to make sure that not only are they okay for their playing career, but for the rest of their lives.
He arrived in Vegas after the trade, a career minus 69. He is going to be a plus player by the end of the year. He is now minus 9 for his career. It's a big turnaround and shows growth in his game. I'll play him with better players and they're scoring more goals
Yeah.
and all of that will
And
navigate itself. But I'm
his
just happy for the guy.
I can see that. His role and his place on the roster is different too, though, isn't it? Like in Buffalo, he was supposed to be at the top of the pyramid. You know, he was supposed to be the best player, he was supposed to be the leader, he was supposed to be everything.
Well, he
That's
had
not
to
the case.
score too.
But that's not necessarily the case in Vegas, is it?
No, but and he's going to have his best season ever, but without that necessary pressure on him or expectation on him to have to score.
Do you notice, and I don't know Jack Eichel, do you notice a difference in his personality in the time that you have been close to him?
Not over the course of his time in Vegas, but he's much more relaxed than I expected him to be from the outset. Very
Yeah.
easygoing guy.
Really?
Very engaging.
Oh, that's good.
And super polite. You would love him. Super polite. Always uses your name. When he does his interviews, thanks the person by name. I love that. My buddies back in Manitoba, they absolutely love when a player says, "Thank you, John," after the interview.
I think that is one of the key aspects. If I was working for a team or working for the Players Association, it's one of the things I would tell players to do because it's a great reflection on two levels, that you are personable, and it also creates more credibility for the person you're talking to. So I'll tell you another little story. We long time ago, we had a host in Calgary, and I would go into whatever studio we were working in whatever building, and I would put on the either side of the walls of the studio, "You're talking to Ron McLean." So that when the player was in the room, he would look at Ron and he would look over his shoulder and he could see Ron's name. And you would be surprised how many players really appreciated that. And then what happened was, in the
Because they
end,
wouldn't have known Ron, and so they wouldn't know his name.
they went, Ron was a kid from Red Deer, Alberta at that point,
Right.
and he was in his first and second year doing regional hockey in Calgary. And so what would happen is at the end of the interview, "Well, thank you very much, Robbie Fatorik." "You're welcome, Ron." And the level of credibility for the announcer and the level of respect that the player gets for remembering the name, it's amazing what that little tweak helps a commentator, and a little tweak helps the player too. It's one of those ones where if you're having a rookie camp, I used to speak to junior teams in a previous life, and tell them, don't be afraid to look at the announcer in the eye, and don't be afraid to use their name. And it's a really important aspect of creating credibility for both sides, and a level of warmth for both people. It's one of those things. For instance, I would love Connor. Connor does interviews with Jean Principe, 6 times every 2 weeks. I would love Connor once to say, "Hey, Gene, good to talk to you." Lots of guys do. Zach Hyman in Edmonton is amazing at it. I saw J Jeff Skinner did an interview. He did the same thing with Principe. Connor doesn't do it yet. And he's been advised to do it, but he's in a moment at that point, and it's such a time that he just doesn't think of that at this point. But every player should do it.
All right, the plus for Jack Eichel, a minus for John Shannon.
Well, what was my minus?
Well, you were talking up the Nashville Predators the other day, and I appreciated
Oh.
it. I liked it. And not that one loss is going to derail the Predators' attempt to get back into it, but what Nashville did with their dismal first half is put themselves in a position where even if they win five in a row, as soon as they lose, people are going to go, ah, it's over, because they're in
That
such
was
a
an
hole.
awful, that was such, that road trip they've been on is just painful. It's a
Yes.
painful road trip. It's a bad road trip. You know it's a bad road trip when you play in the same city twice. Oh, the road trip started in Winnipeg, and they were in Winnipeg last night. That's a bad road trip.
That was a big win for Winnipeg. They needed that.
Yeah. How about your guy, Connor Hellebuck?
Okay, USA goaltending gets a plus and a minus. Connor
Okay.
Hellebuck with 300 career wins. And what I love about how he approached this was he acknowledged last night that the milestone was on his mind.
Yeah.
He expected it to happen a few games earlier, and he was aware of what was swirling around him. I like that.
I'll tell you what, my opinion of Connor Hellebuck has changed in the last 3 or 4 years. I think he's, I love his approach to the position. Listen to him a couple of times talk about positioning and how he thinks the process of moving in the crease. And I call him a mad scientist.
No, he's a scientist. Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost mathematician.
Well, and the irony of that is that, the other guy that the other the guy that has one of the two guys that has got to 300 victories quicker than Hellebuck is Jacques Plante, who's was famous for angles. He was the first goaltender to really exploit what angles were, how important angles were as a goaltender. But Hellebuck, like last night after the game, he was talking to Sarah Arlesky. His love for Winnipeg and his love of those fans, that's a perfect marriage. And it's a real positive for a small market Canadian team in a city that has had its financial struggles in the last couple of years for Connor Hellebuck, a Michigander, to have such appreciation for that market. It was a To me, it was just a tremendous interview that he did with his emotion on his sleeve about the 300th victory and about the city of Winnipeg. It was cool to watch.
There's a good chance he'll have three Vezina trophies at just over 300 games. That's pretty impressive.
Oh, it is. No, he's and I was one of those guys that I was I early on in his career, I wasn't sold, but the last couple of years I've been sold. By the way, here's a fascinating little tidbit, and I have to give the Jets credit for this. So what number did Hellebuck wear in his first year in Winnipeg? I'm a numbers guy. You're a mask guy. I'm a numbers guy. What number did Hellebuck wear his first year?
I didn't realize that he hadn't always been 37.
Okay, there you go. Miss, where are you from?
I'm from Brandon,
Manitoba.
Manitoba. Yeah.
Yeah. So he wore 30 the first year. So the second year, he requested to wear 37. But in the history of the Thrashers slash Jets, 37's already retired
Right. Because of the
because of
tragedy.
the late Dan Schneider. Right?
Right.
So they got permission from the family and from everybody involved for Hellebuck to wear 37, but inside every sweater that Hellebuck wears, somewhere in the sweater, I don't know where it is an acknowledgement of Dan Snyder.
Really?
Yep. So if you actually go and buy a game-worn Connor Hellebuck sweater, you will see a patch inside the sweater somewhere that acknowledges Dan Snyder. I think that's kind of cool.
Wow, that is very cool. And I think
Yeah.
Connor himself reached out to the Snyder family and
Well,
asked for permission.
I know there was a process, right? That
But I didn't
happened
know
after
that there is
the first summer.
something was sewn into the sweater.
Yes, something is sewn into the sweater.
That makes me think it's Craig, something to do with Craig Heisinger, the assistant general manager of Winnipeg. Former equipment guy, he would know all those tricks, and he would think like an equipment guy in that situation, not as a management personnel,
Yeah, I don't
and
know.
tying everything together.
Well, we'll have to figure that one out. We'll do some journalism. Is that
Minus
journalism?
for USA goaltending is Jonathan Quick. He's stuck on 399. He's playing more right now because Shesterkin's out, and the Rangers might let one just go against the Dallas Stars at home.
How many 3-goal leads do you see get burned these days?
I
More
know.
than normal. More than normal. Like we saw Vancouver on a Saturday afternoon do it with Seattle, but it's crazy what's going on. It's crazy. There are no safe leads anymore. None. Now, I watched that Dallas game last night. I mean, Dallas was, I mean, I don't know what time they thought faceoff was, but the Rangers looked like it was the Rangers that was supposed to be for the when they were up 3-0.
Well, they get Lafreniere is going great. Like everything was perfect for them,
Yeah.
and then it just disappeared.
Yeah.
They're another team. Well, they dug themselves a hole. You think they're on their way, and boom, stumble. Toronto Maple Leafs.
What to have what
They're charging. They're in contention for first overall in the National Hockey League right now. Is that a good thing or a bad thing for Maple Leaf fans?
doesn't matter.
I
Doesn't
know it
matter.
doesn't matter, but it gets people excited and
No,
they
that's
embrace and
the
they get
reality.
expectations. I know it doesn't
Doesn't
matter
matter.
and the oh, whole.
82-game preseason. It's an 82-game preseason for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
There'll be
That's
car
what.
flags out. If they get to first overall, there'll be car flags out.
If there's a car flag out, I'll take a picture and we can put it on the show.
Please.
Yeah, because they'll be on them out in my neighborhood for sure. So, but. I don't know. I don't know. How about though it's the mentors trip for them. You see who the mentors are for the players?
I said
So
Joe Thornton's on the trip.
Joe Thornton's
Yeah.
there. Auston Matthews invited him. And then Mike O'Shea, who's the head coach of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, is there,
Who
or
invited him?
somebody. I don't know. I got to figure that one out. But Mike O'Shea's there.
Well, it worked.
Very, yeah, they were not very good. That was a Jekyll Hyde night for the Leafs. Only had two shots on goal in the first period. It was not very good.
I love Mitch Marner.
Yep. Modern day Dave Keon, I think.
I saw Dave Keon this summer
Where?
with you.
Oh, that's right. We were together. I forgot.
At the
I
Boys and
forgot. That
Girls
was a
Club
great
golf
tournament.
tournament in
I hope
PI.
I get invited back.
Well, be nice to
I
me.
know.
And you might.
I
Oh,
know.
Matthew Nyes, too. Like, there's a player that everybody in the league should start paying attention to.
Yep.
Good
Yeah.
score
Yeah.
at the amateur level and has carried that through.
Yeah. And I know that every player in the Maple Leaf organization gets blown out of proportion and gets amplified. But I'll tell you what, this Bobby McMahon, his. Becoming an impressive player. He's big and he's fast. Craig Berube now has kind of moved him up in the lineup. He liked him with Robertson and Domi on the third line, but last night played on the second line. McMahon is one of those guys, complete, drafted the Leafs sent him to the Marlies, played for the Marlies for a while, and he's a home, I want to say homegrown product. That's not really accurate, but he's a Maple Leaf through and through, and he's been part of the improved depth of the hockey club, and that's impressive.
I do take news out of Toronto about Maple Leaf players and
Oh,
prospects with a serious grain of salt.
you
And
have
I was
to.
part of it. I was part of it for so many years on Hockey Central at noon and the different telecasts that we would do. And I'm so aware now of if it happens in Toronto, it's happening in the world. And
That's right.
you just have to
Hey,
just take a step back.
the reality of being in the Toronto Maple Leaf market is every player is either 30% better or 30% worse, and they really are.
Yes.
There's nobody actually playing to their zero standard.
There's a
Everybody's either.
play when Vegas went through this year, Zach Whitecloud made a big hit, and the next day it was all over the news about Zach Whitecloud should be suspended, Zach Whitecloud should be supplemental discipline. And we talked about the hit on the broadcast, but not to that extent, and it was forgotten. And all of a sudden it's like news across North America. And we did the game. We do the team. And we were wondering, what did we miss?
Yeah. You better
Let's
go to
take
break.
a break. We'll come back with more 100% hockey with John Shannon and Darren Millard. You promised you weren't going to produce, and you just told me to go to break.
I know.
You
Well, I
just
worry
told
about
me to go to break.
Yeah. Well,
You didn't even text it. So, sometimes
no.
you'll text me things.
Well, no, but that's when we were trying to be like professional broadcasters. This is you and me now. We're just sitting here having fun,
Calgary
aren't we?
beat Anaheim last night in Anaheim for the ninth straight time.
Yeah.
That's hard to do. And I keep going back to in the early 2000s, Calgary lost, like, it was 29 consecutive games, playoffs and regular season in Anaheim. And now they've won nine in a row. The Craig Conroy group that played in those games that those teams that lost 29 in a row must be wondering what the heck happened.
They're a fascinating team to me because they're hanging around enough. By the way, we touched on Anaheim the other day. At least they're pointed in the right direction in Anaheim. It was a disappointing last night to lose. Sure, it was, but they have been able to put together some pretty impressive victories of late, against Tampa, against the Devils, against the Oilers. That it must make Pat Verbeek feel a little satisfied of where they are. As far as Calgary goes, I've known Ryan Huska since he was a coach in Kelowna. I think he's paid his dues and he works hard, and I think he's a modern day coach in the way he communicates with players. But you have to give these guys some credit, this group of players some credit. I didn't think Rasmus Anderson was this good. I really didn't. Blake Coleman, who made the commitment to sign with a Canadian team, truly has become a cornerstone for that hockey club. And so yesterday on NHL.com and on their social media, the league had rookie scoring. What's going on with rookie scoring? I think they missed the boat when they just do that, because how good is Dustin Wolf? When do we start talking about Dustin Wolf being in the rookie of the year discussion?
He should
Because
be.
he's
He's
pretty
playing half the
good.
games.
Yeah. I would not be. And by the way, Dustin Wolf, another American goaltender. It's
See what he
crazy.
does before every period?
No, I don't. I watch that closely.
He jumps. He does all these little movements,
Oh,
and
yeah.
then he jumps like as high as he can and lands. I'd like to see what would happen if you and I, one, how high we could get off the ice. And two, if we could stick the landing.
I
It's
wouldn't
really
even.
cool what he does.
I'll keep an eye. I'll keep an eye on that.
Did you see the winning goal for Calgary?
No,
So Jacob
I was.
Trouba's behind at the side of the net. There's a scramble, and he's like below the goal line, and he banks it off the boards, and it goes off the boards, hits the lower dasher, up over the net, into the crease, and Huberto scores. It's the weirdest bounce that you're ever going to see. And John Gibson's sitting there going, "What just happened?" It was nice to see them get a break.
There and in previous years there would be managers and coaches going down talking to the arena staff saying, okay, is there something wrong with our dashers? Is there something wrong with our boards? What's going on with the glass? We got to fix this. We have to make sure that can't happen again.
Oh, I think that still happens.
Do
Yeah.
you?
It's and it you're right. It was more prevalent before because Doug McClain did it. What is going on over there? Seriously. Seriously. Back to wrap things up as we continue on 100% hockey with John Shannon and Darren Millard. I'll give you a choice. I've got three pluses left. Detroit, Ottawa, or the Minnesota Wild.
Well, let's do Detroit.
Okay, because Ottawa lost last night,
You
but it's still a
bet.
plus
Why, they
because they had
got a
a
point or what?
nine-game road trip that they finished 500.
Oh.
Ottawa may have made the playoffs because of what they did on the nine-game road trip being even.
By the way, there should be another plus in your list.
Okay.
Columbus.
Right. Big win over
Columbus won
Pittsburgh.
for the first time in Pittsburgh last night since 2015.
Oh, I didn't know it would have been that long.
Yeah, I think it was 15 games in a row they had not been able to beat the
They
Penguins.
got the 100% hockey bump because we talked about them the other day.
We'll end up talking about them more of this. So they win in a shootout in Pittsburgh. And I thought and the Penguins have been playing great of late, or better. Great is a overused word. They have been playing improved hockey. But that to me is the Columbus story, because I believe as of our recording today, Columbus is in the playoffs.
They are.
And so your pal Dean Evason's done a good job.
Brandon Manitoba. I
No,
give out the speed word.
when did you first meet Dean Evason?
Okay, I knew Dean through his brother, Heavy. Heavy was my 12-year-old hockey coach, and that was his name. He changed his name to Heavy. His birth name was Danny, but Heavy was just a marvelous soul. He's passed on now. Heavy was the biggest hockey influence in my life for the longest time, and I still count him as top five. He was a
Wow.
wonderful human being, and I got to know Dean because I knew Heavy.
Oh, okay. All right. So,
And Heavy was a coach. Heavy was a coach in junior hockey, and he coached Niagara Falls Flyers, assistant coach there
see?
for a year. And
Wow. Wow. I gotta look him
good
up.
man. Detroit, though, is going gangbusters right now. Patrick Kane scoring like
You know, if I'm Derek
goalie injury
Lalonde,
though. Goalie injury though too.
yeah, Alex Lyon out, right? But if I'm Derek Lalonde, who's, making a pretty good paycheck for the rest of the season, that's okay. Aren't I saying, why wasn't Patrick Kane playing like this for me? Aren't I saying
Doesn't
that?
every coach that gets let go say that about somebody?
Yeah, I know, but this is Patrick Kane. This guy is gonna be he arguably the greatest American-born hockey player of all time. This guy was supposed to put this team over the top, and for the last five games, all victories. I think he's 4-4, 8 points, four goals in the five games. I think he's, this is what Patrick Kane was supposed to do in Detroit. So he's playing with, I think he's playing with Andrew Kopp and Alex DeBrincat. I want to call them the All-American line. Is that okay?
That's good.
Yeah, call him the AAL. I'm gonna get Kenny Daniels
I'm
to
not sure
start
it's the
calling me
most
up.
creative. The best line in hockey right now is the Hobey Baker line in San Jose with Graf, Smith, and Celebrini playing on a line.
You
They
think
were
that's
all
better
top.
than Scheifele, Vilardi, and Connor?
No, well, they were the Hobey Baker line. They were top 10 finalists last year for the Hobey Baker.
Well, you can't be called the Hobie Baker line if you haven't won the Hobie Baker.
Well, Celebrini did, and the other
Yeah,
two
but
were
the
top
other
10
two guys
finalists.
didn't. No, that doesn't count. Come on. You
All in the
can't. You can't.
same year. And the next year,
Oh.
they're on a line in the National Hockey League. That is cool.
Yeah. You can't. You can't be. You can't have. That's. You can't have two guys that didn't win it be called the Hobie Baker line. You can't.
You can't tell me what to do. We're co-hosts. The
Oh.
co allows me to have a
Yeah.
say. What's your favorite line?
Which one's which
Shifley?
one? What was that? My
Shifley?
favorite line right now?
Yeah.
Well, Scheifele, Connor, and Vilardi. I mean, oh my goodness gracious. They're going to be, I think they'll have, by the end of the week, they'll have three guys with 20 or more goals. I think Vilardi's at 19. And nobody else in the league has 20 goal scorers on the same line.
The goal last night by Kyle Connor was unstoppable. The shot. Just wicked. And Jack, who I've talked about, he scored one the other night. We're like, you don't have a chance to stop that. Hey, do you have a retirement plan?
Is this a commercial or are we
Like, no, I'm just asking, were you responsible in your big earning years to put away money?
Oh yeah, why?
Okay. Because the Frank Vatrano contract is fascinating. And I know it's about taxes in California and it's
Yeah,
piggybacking off what baseball has done, but
no, I
I
don't
really do like it.
I'm not as I did some a little bit of investigation on this thing. It is I think that you can say what you want to do, but it's not the first. I mean, hockey contracts in the 70s and 80s had deferred money all over them. This is nothing really new. It's just been reinvented. The question becomes is if I took the money now, could I invest it myself
Bingo.
and make the money? Could I do that? And the answer is you probably could. This is a, you know, it's a fascinating decision. But the most famous deferred contract in hockey is
Mario Lemieux.
Mario Lemieux. $31 million of deferred money that he ended up owning the hockey club or part of it.
Because the Penguins went bankrupt.
Right? And he became one of their first they had to pay. So he ended
All
up
these
owning their.
deferred contracts, that's the first thing I think about.
Yeah. Well, and I also think like if so deferred contracts really got. I was in Minnesota when Neil Broughton held out, and Neil ended up signing a 10-year contract with the Minnesota North Stars for what was a lot of money at the time. And really, what it was is that it became an annuity. And so the club who, you know, when they thought they had the total amount, ended up probably paying 60% because they invested the money on Neil's behalf. That's what this is a this is a
It's what the
really
Dodgers
good.
have done. It's what the Dodgers have done with Shohei.
This is a really good deal. Yes, it's a conservatively smart move for Frank Vatrano, knowing that by the time he's 40 to the time he's 50, he's going to make almost $1 million. Okay,
A
we
year.
still don't a year. We still don't know because there. I think there's a gray area. We don't know the tax implications because the state of California is not happy about this, just like they're not happy with the Ohtani deal. And they're going to fight this, and they're going to say, "Well, if you've earned the money in California, you're going to have to pay California tax." That's up. That is being considered now. This is not as cut and dry of saying this is a brilliant long-term move. It's not that simple. There's a lot more to it, but it is good. It is really good for the Ducks. It's a brilliant move for the Ducks from a money perspective, because they can now actually overpay. They can invest the money in an annuity, probably at 60%, and say, okay, Frank, you're going to get this money. And we haven't paid, even though it's budgeted at $9 million for you over 10 years, we only have to pay $6 million at this point, and we've prospered $3 million to the positive for our books.
So if I was going to give you the option, would you take the money now or would you defer some of it?
I would take the money now and create the deferral system myself.
Because then you have to
I
pay the
would
taxes.
go
So you're
I would
willing to
go
pay
to
the
I would
taxes.
go to an I would go to an investment banker or go to my investment guy and say, okay, here's my $4.75 million a year. I'm gonna take $1 million. I'm gonna take money out so that when I turn 40 or turn 45, I'm gonna get a, I want $1 million a year. How much money do I have to put into an annuity or into investments in order to guarantee that I make that money?
So you're willing to bite the bullet on the 25%, let's say, on the tax implication.
Yes, because I don't
Okay.
think we know the tax
Okay.
implications 10 years from now. I don't think we know.
The deferral is a sounds like a great idea, but it does fly in the face of what a lot of guys do is they get the salary bonus on
Right.
July 1st. So if you make, say, $10 million, you get 9 of it in a salary bonus on July 1st, and you have that money right up front and you invest it. That's
Right.
your way of thinking.
Yeah, exactly. It is. And by the way, the reason deferred contracts disappeared was when Bob Goodnow came in at the Players Association and said deferred contracts are beneficial to the team much more than they are beneficial to the player.
I
And
thought maybe it was too risky for the
agents and
player.
players backed off. What's that?
I wondered if it was too risky for the player, but that's why they went away because of the Mario
Well,
example.
wouldn't be surprised. The other thing was like there are over the years, and I used to hear this when I first started working, is that why would somebody sign in the province of Quebec? Because in Quebec in the 70s and 80s, the taxes in Quebec were much higher than anywhere else in North America. But players still signed there. And the Canadians were very, very creative with their payments and their contracts to players, and deferral was a part of that as well.
Hey, John, who do we have on Friday?
Not telling, it's a secret. I've learned my lesson. Doug, by the way, Doug does apologize.
Wasn't his fault.
No, but he still apologized.
That's very nice of him. He didn't have to do that. Did he send you a text and say, we've got travel issues?
Oh
Or did you
yeah.
send him a reminder, say, hey, we'll talk to you tomorrow? And he went, ah,
No, but
darn.
it's part of the process. But he's in the end, I'm sitting and actually I'm watching the Vegas game and I got a text from him.
What do you think of the Vegas broadcast? Pretty good.
Needs work, he really needs work. Oh my, That Gosher and Knighty are great. And of course
Are.
Ashley's fantastic too.
She is. The host is just solid, though. We were on in Canada last night. Love getting my texts from people watching Canada.
Yeah, well.
We miss you. For my dad and my brother, but.
Yep.
Have a good day, and we'll talk to you on Friday.
Yeah.
It's 100% Hockey with Darren Millard and John Shannon.